What's up, y'all? This is D'Angelo Russell, and y'all listening to the Drive the Lane podcast. And this is your owner once again, D'Angelo Russell.
Welcome back to Drive the Lane. A lot of stuff has happened since the last time we talked to everyone, to put it lightly. Number one, Ohio State did not win the Big Ten tournament or make it to March Madness, but they are hosting in the NIT and being coached in the NIT by now non-interim and just straight up head coach Jake Diebler, which is awesome. We're going to talk a ton about that. The March Madness bracket is here. Of course, we're going to break that down, talk about that. Joey is in the midst of finalizing his bracket. I'm going to give some of my picks. He's going to tell me why I'm wrong. And then we got to talk a little bit about Coach Holtman, Joey's former coach, accepted the job at DePaul. Joey was at his press conference today, so he's got some inside info, kind of. Literal inside, as in he was inside the building for the press conference. And just a little appetizer for that, Mata and Holtman playing twice a year. I assume Big East is not as many teams as Big Ten. You for sure play twice a year. But Mata and Holtman playing twice a year. We are two of the people who will find that very, very spicy and entertaining. But before we get to all that, if you want to have a good time, if you want to watch the Buckeyes in the NIT, and if you're in Chicago, you got to go to Butcher's Tap. I found out recently that McGee's for basketball, Duke Bar, basketball, Duke, football, Ohio State. So we're in basketball season, obviously. To finish out basketball season, you should be watching the games, hopefully plural, at the Butcher's Tap. Great food, great drink, great venue. McGee's, great venue for engagement parties. And now we're going to jump in to the episode, and I'm going to pass it to you, Joey. I'm going to let you start how you want to start it. Of all the different topics, I assume you're going to start with Big Ten tournament / Diebler being hired, but I'll let you pick. Maybe you'll throw me off.
Yeah, I'm actually going to go straight into the women's national championship bracket and talk about the path of Caitlin Clark returning to the national championship and hopefully getting over that hill and winning her first national championship. In all seriousness, and it's funny because Iowa could play LSU again, which would be kind of cool. But anyway, in all seriousness, yeah, quick wrap up for the Big Ten tournament. Man, Illinois is freaking good, but man, Ohio State got hosed in that game. And I listen, it's fun and cute to tweet about the refs and ref show this and ref show that, and we're getting screwed. And that's all fun and games. And truthfully, I do it, Andrew, you do it for interactions and clicks and all that stuff because people eat that up. And so of course, we're going to keep doing that. But I, at the end of the day, I never want to blame the refs because so much goes into a basketball game that blaming the refs is just like almost like loser talk. You know, you blaming anything, but blaming the refs is like a cop out. But that was one of the only games I can remember that truthfully the refs cost us the game in a lot of ways. You look at how many foul shots Illinois had versus how many we had. You look at how many fouls were called in the second half period, Ohio State versus Illinois. It was just trash. Illinois scored, did not make a field goal in the last 2.5 minutes and were down one and still won the game because they made a bunch of free throws. Like, it's just so brutal. Granted, Ohio State had every chance to win that game. They get a couple of defensive rebounds when it mattered most towards the end of the game, and they have shots to win the game. Blah, blah, blah. Ho-hum. Woe is us. Illinois is incredible. They flip the switch like nobody's business. They could be looking uninterested and boring and sleepwalking 1 second and be down 10, and the next second they're up 3 because they went on a 13-0 run. It's what makes them so dangerous in March. We'll talk about that later. But kudos and congratulations to, you know, my guy Tyler Underwood over at Illinois and the rest of the Fighting Illini fans. As much as I just can't stand them sometimes, you've got a hell of a basketball team and maybe my favorite team out of the Big Ten going into March. Again, we'll talk about that later. But Ohio State, that game against Iowa was phenomenal. They played well enough to win the game against Illinois. Sucks that Illinois won it all because the bracket played out in such a perfect way where Ohio State did not have to play Indiana, who they've lost to twice, and then they didn't have to play Purdue in the championship if they would have won. And you can't sit here and tell me that there were three teams that played in that tournament that were better than Ohio State. Like, you just can't tell me that from watching all those games. So Buckeyes finished strong, and that's a huge part of the reason why, you know, going 6-2 and really should have been 7-1 in the last 8 games, that Jake Diebler, they removed the interim tag from his name and named him the head ball coach at the Ohio State University, the 15th coach in Ohio State history. And I've said it for episodes and episodes, I am over the moon, thrilled, could not be happier for Jake Diebler, the person, the Diebler family, his parents, his wife, his kids, John and his family, you name it. Like, I cannot be more excited for them. Jake was my video coordinator 10 years ago when I was a freshman at Ohio State. He had a shaved head. He had just met Jordan, his wife, Jordan Diebler. They had just met. Now they have 3, almost 4 kids. He's gone to 3 different schools since coming back to Ohio State. It's just, the journey is remarkable. And he's been a star from the beginning. He was working out Mike Connolly and Evan Turner and Greg Oden and you name it from when he was a video coordinator on. He's been a phenomenal recruiter, getting guys like Darius Garland and obviously guys like, you know, Malachi Branham and guys from Ohio State, but Darius Garland at Vanderbilt and, I mean, Aaron Neesmith at Vanderbilt. Like, there's a laundry list of guys that he's brought into Ohio State. Bruce Thornton, Roddy Gale, Bryce Sensabaugh. Like, he's a phenomenal recruiter. He's a phenomenal player development. That's why guys like Evan Turner and Mike Conley trust him to work them out. LeBron James is posting on Instagram backing him as the coach. He's got the whole foundation and all the NIL collectives at Ohio State backing him. He's got the whole fan base excited about him being hired. And if you watched his press conference today, he is so incredibly easy to root for. So easy to root for. He's so just makes you want to run through a brick wall. Because in a lot of ways, you know, not to like spin this on myself, but I had a very lofty dream of playing basketball at Ohio State since I was a young kid. Never thought it was possible. With hard work and preparation and the right timing, the right situation, I was able to make that dream a reality. And Jake Diebler felt the exact same way about being the head coach at Ohio State. And he is living his dream now, just like I got to live my dream. And for that, I am incredibly excited and proud of him, because he's a guy that, yes, he was my coach, but if people don't understand, a video coordinator is almost like a teammate at that point. We only a few years off in age. When I had questions, I went to him, not Coach Mata. Like, he was my guy. I consider him almost a friend as much as I do a coach. So I just can't be – I'm over the moon excited. I'm excited for the program. I mean, like, he is the guy. He cares so much about Ohio State and the family culture and the family atmosphere. He works so hard that there's no way he can fail. He just can't fail. I know there's people out there on Twitter that are worried about things that, truthfully, I can't deny some of those things. Like, he's never been a head coach, right? I mean, like, he's not a big splash. He's not a sexy hire. But the dude just got it done, and he showed – and he deserved it. That's the bottom line. He deserved – he at first he deserved an interview. Then he deserved a real interview. And then he deserved the job. And you can't argue that he doesn't deserve it. Very proud, very excited. As a former player, I would have loved to have been there today as we're recording this for the press conference. But, man, Jake Diebler, hopeful future guest of Drive the Lane here soon. We can't wait to talk to you. I have the funniest Jake Diebler story ever that I would love to share, but I can't because I want to save it for our show. But it involves me, Joey Lane, being kicked out of practice, which is just hilarious because that's just almost impossible for that to be even a possibility as a freshman. So I'll save that story for when we have him on. But, God, I really want to clip that and tweet that out because I'm so unbelievably excited about Jake. You know, it's just unbelievable. I mean, the dude had a buzz cut and was 28 years old when I met him. And now he's got a perfect haircut, 3.5 kids, married, and is the head coach of Ohio State. It's just unbelievable. Couldn't be more excited for him. I could go on and on. Andrew, what, how do you feel?
I mean, I think it's great. Obviously small sample size, but he also could have lost those games, which they should have. Before he was in charge, they looked like they were going to lose every game for the rest of the season. Yep. And then by the end of his interim tenure, it felt like they should be the favorites against every single team
they
play.
Like, they should be in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah. I mean, there are teams, and they may lose. We're not really going to preview the NIT because – like, we're excited if Ohio State keeps winning. We'll do a little more on that, but we're not going to do a deep dive of the NIT. Like
Cornell, they're full of a bunch of sneaky, athletic, intelligent, high IQ basketball players.
But what I was going to say is normally, like, there's some good teams in the NIT this year, and there's some really good teams
really
who rejected the NIT this year, too. So I'm not going to say it's a second March Madness. Obviously, it's not close to that. But, like, there's some high quality teams in the NIT this year. So they'll have some good wins if they run through this thing, if they win a few games and kind of keep building that momentum. And the good thing is if they lose in the first round, whatever, on the next season, you got the coach, recruiting starts, transfer starts. So like,
and they won't, they have like, again, right now, like we're NIT bracketologists. They've got a great path to get to Indy, which Andrew, I feel like if they're in the final four of the NIT, we should go.
Yeah, we should.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome.
We definitely should. Wait, hold on. One more thing.
Okay.
One more thing about Deepwood, then you can do your last thing. Yep. The last thing that I was going to say, which now I forgot, which is unfortunate. Oh, the last thing I was going to say is the current guy stepping up, winning games, getting the team excited is the best recipe for keeping your guys also.
He stole it from me. Yeah. I mean, in the world of the transfer portal, if one of the objections in getting a new coach is not hitting a reset button, right, in a lot of ways, Jake Diebler checks that box in a major way because you're keeping the recruits that you have coming in next year. They've already came out and said they're staying. You most likely a guy like Bruce Thornton, Roddy Gale, who Bruce Thornton could probably get offered seven figures in the transfer portal, maybe is not incentivized to leave because his coach is staying, right?
Yeah.
So you maintain the roster that was proven in the last eight games of the year to be an upper echelon Big Ten team. You keep that, like, you're going to lose guys like Zed Key. You're going to lose guys like obviously Jameson Battle and Dale Bonner who are out of eligibility, but you knew you were going to have to get guys from the transfer portal, no matter what coach you get. Now it's less about fielding an entire roster, more about just filling in the gaps, which could be a promising thing. We could look back in a year and be like, wow, I wish we would have had a completely new roster, but I don't think anyone feels that way.
Well, prior to Jameson Battle, I think it's safe to say, and a little bit Sean McNeil, it's safe to say we were disappointed, is a good word for it. We were disappointed in the transfers that came in the last few years. We had high expectations.
Home run transfers.
Yeah, we had high expectations for
it. Keyshawn. Really, we love Keyshawn.
Yeah, but that's even pre-transfer portal, though. Really.
God, he was a grad transfer.
Yeah. So pre-transfer portal where, like, all these guys who are grad transferring before their grad transfer year from the smaller schools, you know, we were a little disappointed in the outcome of them until Jameson Battle. So Jameson Battle aside, Diebler doesn't have to do that much for the transfers to be, you know, better than the previous few years' transfers. And I think, like, Bruce and Felix and the younger guys, Bruce, Felix, and the freshmen are, like, obviously the priorities that are the core that need to be there next year. Not to say that, like, Roddy isn't a guy that needs to be there.
Evan Royal is a priority.
That's what I said, the freshman.
Oh, sorry, sorry.
The freshman, Bruce and Felix, in, like, my eyes, are, like, if you have those four.
I totally misunderstood you. Okay, yeah.
If you have those four, those are the priority to build around. Devin, Bruce, Felix, the rest of the freshmen, like, you obviously want to keep the younger guys. Roddy, like, if I don't want to say he's replaceable, I hope he's on the team forever. He's great. But, like, you need Bruce and Felix on the team next year. And you think the ceiling for Devin Royal is going to be very, very high. You need the defense from Felix and you need the playmaking from Bruce to give yourself a chance of being a tournament team next year, which, as we saw at the end of this year, is very, very possible. Yeah. But speaking of the tournament, sucks that Ohio State's not in it, but arguably more fun when they're not in it because it takes an element of stress out of it.
And now it's just, we just watch the games.
And now we just watch the games, and we only care about the outcome based on our bets and
our brackets.
So the way we're going to do this is I have filled out my "quote unquote" main bracket. Obviously, I'm gonna.
Oh, yuck, Andrew.
I just have like a chalky second one, that like I'm less confident
That's the one. You got balloons.
I got balloons. I just have like a little less chalky second one, but I may not even put that one into the group. So just kind of playing around.
I'm doing it this year. Before we get into it, I'm doing one bracket and I'm only entering one contest and that's it. Unless there's free ones that like my, you know, office does or whatever that I'll one off, but I'm going to have one bracket that I enter.
Are you going to do the player pool thing we did last year?
Yeah, I did pretty well on that. So maybe I should do that.
Yeah, that thing's fun.
It's just so much. Cause if you do that, like I do a survivor, I do a bracket, and I do one where you pick teams and the amount of points you get is based on their seed. So you have to pick, you know what I mean? Like you, if UConn wins the national championship, that's only 6 points. But if UAB wins in the first round, that's 12. Right. So, right. So long story short, I do one of those also. And then, you know, there's one-off games that I'll throw $10 on, you know, like there's just too much going on. So I'm simplifying this year. Simplifying.
Fair enough.
You get into it?
Yeah, let's get into it with the exception of, or with the thought of the fact that this could take a really, 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 really long
time.
We're going to go quick. So like because, starting in.
Like Andrew said, Andrew's going to just name games. I have not filled out my bracket yet. I won't do it until tomorrow as you're listening to this today. So I'm just – Andrew's giving his picks, and I'm giving my gut reaction to that briefly. Nothing set in stone for either of us, really, but mostly
for me. No, it's set. It's set for me.
Oh, it's set for Andrew.
But you may change my mind is the thing.
Yeah. See, so there's some analysis from the picks, and we're going from there. That's all it is, and we're going to try and fly through it.
All right. So the first thing, and I'll set the pace and you jump in when you want. Okay. UConn, I have beating Stetson and meeting FAU over Northwestern. Agreed. In the second round.
Agree. 8-9 game is always tough. I lean towards FAU because of their experience in the tournament and the fact that Northwestern is hurt. Like they're just hurt. So
former future Ohio State head coach Dusty May,
former future and Chris Collins, they're both former future. They're both future Michigan coaches now. So
yeah. So and then I have UConn advancing.
Oh, that's what we're doing. We're doing it by pods. Let's go through all.
I'll keep going. San Diego State versus UAB, Auburn versus Yale. I'm sticking with the, if you were in the Final Four last year, you're going to win your first round game. And
I love Jayla D.
Yep. I actually saw a Jayla D jersey when I was in Vegas and I didn't take a picture of it. And then I have Auburn beating Yale. Auburn won the SEC tournament. They're great. Bruce Pearl, he's motivated. The SEC was really, really good this year. So I got San Diego State and Auburn playing in the second round. Got to take Duquesne over BYU. Too much hype around Duquesne. And if we're going to be excited that LeBron is backing Diebler, we got to take Duquesne because LeBron's guy, Keith Dambrot, who is retiring at the conclusion of the season, they're going to get him at least one win. Do you disagree with me there?
Can I stop you? Yeah, I think BYU is sneaky, really good. And I really just want to see them play Illinois more than anything because that game is going to have so many threes and such a fast pace. The reason why I'm not afraid of picking Duquesne over BYU beyond the factors from the outside world, like not on the basketball court. BYU's roster is not meant for the Big 12. It's meant for the West Coast Conference, and the A-10 is a comparable conference, right? So I think the rosters are probably closer in talent than people might think, Big 12 versus A-10. So I'm probably leaning BYU just because I want them to play Illinois, which I'm sure you have Illinois beating Morehead State. But
I do.
That's my quick thoughts. I have no objections to San Diego State. We love Jayla D and Auburn, who I think is incredible. I think Auburn is freaking unbelievable.
And then I got Drake over Washington State.
Love it. We love Tucker DeVries. We love Conrad, right?
And Iowa State, who looks like the best team in the country right now, over South Dakota State. But the second round, let's just do final four from each region.
Okay.
Are you okay with that?
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay. UConn over FAU.
Yep.
Auburn over San Diego State.
Yep.
Illinois over Duquesne.
Okay.
And Iowa State over Drake, setting up a just heavyweight battle of teams that could upset UConn.
1-4-2-3
Yeah. This is, I have a couple 1-4-2-3s, it looks like.
Well,
but
East, the East is the best quadrant. It's the best region by far. And I guess that would mean the best teams are going to come out of it. So I don't blame you. Okay. Continue.
And then
UConn, Auburn.
So I have UConn, Illinois coming out of that region to the Final Four. And I want to kick it to you now because you said later in the show, you'll explain why you think Illinois is going to be the team that goes the furthest of the Big Ten teams.
Yeah. I don't think Illinois beats UConn, but I do think they beat Iowa State. So I Elite Eight, I think that they are a top 10 team in the country. Therefore, Elite Eight is on par. I just think UConn is a buzzsaw. They, everything that Illinois like does incredibly well, like UConn can counter it in a lot of ways. Like Illinois is so good on offense and can score a million points. Like UConn led the Big East in scoring, or second or third, maybe, right? They're up right at the top, Big East in scoring. Illinois got incredible guards. UConn has equally, maybe not quite as good as Terrence Shannon, but on average, incredible guards. Dane Danger is coming into his own. Okay, well, Donovan Klingon's a way better big man. The thing that's always held Illinois back is in these games has not been their talent and how they've done the regular season slash Big Ten tournament. Every Illinois fan will tell you the same thing. Underwood has not made correct adjustments, X's and O's wise, in these games. So, I mean, our Bobby Hurley or Danny Hurley, like, the dude just won a national championship. I think he knows how to win in March. So I have the same exact thing except for UConn beating Illinois, I think, my gut.
All right, quick counter. First thing is, I can't really explain this 100% in my brain, but I feel like if UConn gets upset, either FAU recreates some magic or Auburn really is like a top team in the country because they just won the SEC. Like, I feel more confident in Illinois winning that Elite Eight game than Auburn winning another one after beating UConn, or FAU winning two more after beating UConn, if that makes sense. It's almost like, it's like I'm picking Illinois over UConn if they play, but I'm also just kind of thinking Illinois will have the advantage of the potential teams that could upset UConn.
Okay, so what if Illinois loses? Do you think UConn will have the upper hand on Iowa State? And
yeah, and I think they're Drake? The I think they're the two best teams. Obviously, I put them there, but like I'm not necessarily.
I'm just using your same logic. I can't sit here and say anybody's insane for thinking Illinois is going to the Final Four. If you watch them play last week, no lead is insurmountable for them, and they are playing their best basketball. I mean, it's just the bottom line. It's hard to argue with. The only thing is that they haven't had any NCAA tournament success in the last few years, and they have shown signs of stretches where they just don't play defense. They gave up 50 points to Nebraska and a half. They gave up 40-something points to Wisconsin and a half. It's who's not exactly firepower offense. But at the same time, they scored 58 points in the second half against Nebraska. So it's like they'll just go ahead and outscore you. So I can't blame you there.
All right. And then down, let's go down to the West.
All right.
And in the West regional, the Tar Heels of North Carolina over Hogwarts. That's what it looks like with Howard versus Wagner. North Carolina advances there. I'm going Michigan State just because all the discourse around they shouldn't be in it. Oh, they just picked them because they've won or they've been in the tournament 25 years in a row. Izzo, blah, blah. I think that works the reverse way, and it's like firing the Michigan State people up, the players, the coaching staff. Like, I think it's a no one believes in us type thing, and actually it's true. Like, it's not like when Saban says – no one believes in us, no one thought we could make the playoff, when it's like Bama, it's like, no, literally no one believes in the Michigan State team. So I think they get that first round win. And I feel like you're going to have some thoughts there.
The only thing that I will counter with is I'm going to pick Michigan State too, because in my heart of hearts, I want to root for Izzo. And I also think that they, even though they haven't won a ton of games, they're not playing bad basketball. They also have the best guard in that game in Tyson Walker. The only thing is, I think a lot of people are sitting here having the same conversations as us and going, it's Michigan State. Of course, we're going to take Michigan State and Tom Izzo in March. So that's why maybe a Mississippi State is not the worst pick. I also think that both the teams will give North Carolina a really good test in the next round, but I'm assuming you're going to take North Carolina over Michigan State.
I am going to do that, but we'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
Here I went Grand Canyon over St. Mary's and then Alabama over Charleston. And everyone's saying that Charleston over Bama is the upset pick, but here's my thoughts. Bama lost to a really good Ohio State team that should have been in the tournament. And that tells me that they're going to beat Charleston. And you can't go to the second round against Grand Canyon.
Grand Canyon's awesome. I think St. Mary's is an experienced team with a great core group of guys. That their coach has a ton of experience in the NCAA tournament. And it just, when you're playing your best basketball, like I just think there's something to be said about that. I would not be surprised if Grand Canyon wins, but I'm going to take St. Mary's just because, like, there's a ton of, 12-5 trendy upsets. This is not mine, but I don't disagree with you there. And then I'm taking Alabama just because their style of play is conducive to winning games in the NCAA tournament. They just so many possessions. Charleston, odds are, has not seen a team that plays like them, even though Charleston is a really, really solid team. I think that'll be a really fun game to watch, like two very fun play styles in Alabama and Charleston.
All right, maybe the most common upset pick is New Mexico over Clemson, which we said this last year. I'm going to say it again. It doesn't really feel like the games beyond – the 5-12 are upsets, teams are 10, 11 seeds.
I'm pretty sure New Mexico is favored.
Right.
By a couple points, even though it's a seeding upset.
Right. But like all these closer matchups, none of them are upsets. Maybe they would court storm in New Mexico if it was 11 seed over the 6 seed, because that's what happens now. But I don't think that would be an upset. I do think Baylor wins. I'm actually pretty chalked the rest of the way. I got Baylor, Dayton, Arizona all advancing down there.
Yeah, I like New Mexico because I think they're way better than their seed is. I like Baylor. Ray J. Dennis, their point guard, is my buddy and rooting for them. Dayton, Nevada is going to be a really fun game. Anytime there's two mid-majors in like the 7-10, 8-9 sort of vibe, it's just, it means a lot to those programs. I'm going to take Dayton as an Ohio guy, and then Arizona, I'm with you there. Yeah, so a little bit of chalk there.
And then I'm going North Carolina and Bama advance, especially because I picked Grand Canyon there. So I got Bama advancing, North Carolina advancing. I agree with you. I think both of those teams can give North Carolina a good game, but I kind of feel like North Carolina, you could tell in that ACC championship, like, yeah, they wanted to win the ACC, but like they want to win the fucking national championship. They were so close a few years ago. Like, this is, and I know, like, obviously they didn't say let's take it easy in this game and we'll win March Madness, but like I have them going to the Final Four, so I'll save that for a few minutes, but like I think they're just too good to lose in the second round.
I would agree. I think that there are scarier matchups for them of 8-9. Like, if they had to play FAU, if they had to play a Nebraska or even a Texas A&M, those are scarier matchups. Mississippi State is phenomenal on defense, and they've got good players. Michigan State, phenomenal guards and a great head coach. But North Carolina's talent, and they've been there and done that before. Like, this team went to the Final Four, a lot of these guys, 2 years ago. I am completely. Why does that always happen?
Where'd you go? There you go.
I just accidentally pressed my space bar. I'm with you. I got North Carolina over whomever.
But then I got I got both ups. I got the two and the three getting knocked out here. I got Dayton over balloons. This means it's happening. I got Dayton over Arizona and New Mexico over Baylor. And this is a little, this is, I think New Mexico's good and everyone thinks New Mexico's good. So that's why I'm picking them over Baylor. But this is some TBT bias there. I've watched a lot of Dayton games. I've seen a lot of Deron Holmes. I'm very plugged in with what's going on in that program over there. That is a heart pick with Dayton. But if they do beat Arizona, then it's a, I knew they were going to beat them. I know how this, how college basketball works pick. Does that make sense? So if they lose, I could say picked them with my heart. If they win, I could say I picked them the whole time.
I love that. I like the New Mexico pick a lot. Again, I think they're underseeded and they're trendy, which is annoying, but whatever. I think Arizona is really, really stinking good, and they're avenging their early exit last year. So I'm going to take Arizona over Deron Holmes.
I think that's a Deron Holmes leaves it all out on the floor game. Yeah,
do you know who he's playing against? Like, it's not like he's playing against us.
Right. But I mean, like, it could be he leaves it all out on the floor. People are like, what an effort from Deron Holmes, but just not enough tonight against the Wildcats. It's like a 10-point game whole time. Or it's the classic. And it's weird calling Dayton a mid-major who's, like, in the tournament every year. They're always around this stuff. They won Maui a few years ago. Like, but usually the mid-major guys like that, when their teams lose, they have a bad game because they're like the engine that drives.
Yeah, I mean, he averages 20-something and 10. Like, right. He's going to have 20 and 10. He's a great pick if you're out there in your player points pools. I think he's a great pick.
And then, like I said, I got North Carolina over Dayton to go to the Final Four.
Wow.
North Carolina, Illinois.
I've got North Carolina going to the Final Four. They're going to be beating Arizona in what will be the Caleb Love revenge game. That comes up a little bit short. I love North Carolina. That's all I'll say. We can get into that at the end. It sucks that they have to play UConn in the Final Four if you were to possibly have a future on them to win it all. So,
all right. So I want to preface this South region with something. Houston's the one seed. Duke is the four seed. This is why I did two brackets. This means it's happening, by the way, the balloons. This is why I did two brackets. When I was watching conference tournaments, and you know, you start thinking and you watch teams toward the end of the season, I was like, okay, Houston and Duke, those are my two teams. I would love to have a bracket where they can play in the Final Four, they can play in the championship, even. And of course, they're destined to meet
each other
in the Sweet 16. So I don't even get that big. So more to that there, but I got Houston upsetting Longwood. We got Longwood and Morehead both in the tournament this year, which is nice.
Why is that? I don't get that.
It's just fun names. Houston over Longwood.
Why are you pronouncing it like that?
Just to be funny. And then Nebraska versus Texas A&M in the, these teams both beat Ohio State game. I got Nebraska, which I'm sure you have too, because
of course, KJ Tomanaga.
Yeah,
all day long.
And then you got the part of my take pod, which is so funny that
it is hard to argue against the fact that they did it on purpose.
Yeah, so you got the part of my take pod. I got James Madison over Wisconsin. James Madison kind of could have just gone undefeated this year, but also wouldn't be surprised if Wisconsin beats them, because that's how this works, where everyone likes a certain team and then Wisconsin's in the Elite Eight. But I got James Madison over Wisconsin. I got Duke over Vermont.
Yeah. Houston over Longwood. And then I'm taking Keisei Tominaga over Texas A&M, even though if Texas A&M, either team can beat Houston, I'm actually going to, that's probably going to be my first one seed to lose, because Houston, if they don't score, they can't win. They scored 20, they had 28 points with 4 minutes left in the game against Iowa State. Like,
yeah.
So I don't know if I'm going to take Nebraska for sure or Texas A&M, just because Texas A&M, when we watched them play, we were like, holy shit, they're going to the Sweet 16, like, no doubt about it. But I think I'm going to take Nebraska. I'm going to have Nebraska beating Houston most likely.
That's awesome. Either one of those teams really could. That's a, They came on at the right time. Both teams like moved out of bracket contention and then
sprung in. Yeah.
Played themselves 100%. Back in. As I'm talking about all this with you, it's crazy. I feel like we, obviously you played and are more plugged in than me in a sense, but like we know a lot about these teams and about college basketball. And we're probably going to be
I'm obsessed.
Wrong. Right. But like we know a lot. We know that, I mean, it's not, I guess
it's really smart.
It's kind of obvious that the 8-9 seeds were bubble teams. So like it's not that special.
No,
but
not
like
bubble teams. But.
Right, but well, A&M was kind of a bubble team pre-tournament, pre-SEC tournament. All right, moving on. This is going to be the trendiest pick in the tournament, which is NC State over
Texas
Tech.
Wait, hold on. I didn't even get to say that I probably will pick Wisconsin and Duke and then have Wisconsin beating Duke, most likely.
That's because we didn't get to the second round.
No, but I spoiled it
with Houston Duke, but yeah.
But I didn't even. You said James Madison and Duke.
Oh, right.
Wisconsin and Duke. James Madison is who I will be rooting for. Wisconsin is not your father's Wisconsin, and they just played really well in the Big Ten tournament.
Yep.
I always sit here and go, I got to pick 112 over 5, and then I never do.
Oh, wow. Well, it just doesn't. It doesn't even feel like a 12-5 game. Like they beat Michigan State at Michigan State. They are really, really, really good. But like I said, they'll probably just lose. All right, moving lower. NC State over Texas Tech. That's going to be the trendiest pick in the whole tournament after their run in the ACC
Everyone's
tournament.
Big Sexy. Everyone's going to be rooting for him.
Kentucky over Oakland. Florida over Boise State or Colorado.
Oakland versus Kentucky is my number one lock over of the entire weekend.
It might be like 95 to 90.
That game will have so many points. I had a front row seat for Oakland against Ohio State. Oakland can beat Kentucky. They can beat Kentucky. But if Kentucky wins, they don't run into much trouble after that.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting is this, like the Boise State, Colorado. It's tough to do your bracket before those games happen. Not that they really change too much of like what you're thinking. Like if you think the 7 seed is going to beat the 10 seed there. But like Florida's big man just got hurt. Boise State like really hurt. and Boise State, Colorado, like those are going to be the teams that they're going to win a game. They're going to be
one of those play-in teams is going to win a game.
Right. Like they're going to be on a little bit of I agree with what you're saying that one play-in team will win a game, but I mean like it's the tournament momentum. They're going to have the win. They're going to be riding off the win. So
but I like Florida a lot.
Yeah, that being said, I have Florida and I have Marquette over Western Kentucky. I think we differ a lot in this second round.
Yeah, so you kind of already briefly – obviously you love Houston and Duke, so that makes the top easier. I'm going to go Nebraska over Houston, and I'm going to go Wisconsin over Duke. And then – so then you have – I'll take NC State too, just for the sake of the conversation. I have Kentucky beating NC State, which I'm sure you have. And then I probably will end up taking Florida over Marquette.
Okay. So then you will eventually have Nebraska, Wisconsin, Kentucky, Florida.
And I'll have Kentucky, SEC versus SEC, Big Ten versus Big Ten. I'll have Kentucky playing Wisconsin, which is hilarious, and then Kentucky going to the Final Four.
All right, I have Duke playing Kentucky and Duke going to the Final Four because this is my thought process behind Duke. Okay.
I hate Duke.
Every year there's someone who is like fringe top 15 fringe lottery pick, and by the end of the tournament, they're a surefire lottery pick. And Duke has three candidates for that guy with Filipowski, McCain, and Proctor. Proctor really has kind of fallen off to what they thought he was going to be like in year two. We watched them together last year. They ended up losing, but we were like, this is the best team ever. Yeah. But then they lost.
They had Banchero too. Oh no, you're right. Yes. With Phil. Yeah. We were like Tyrese Proctor. Holy cow. He's.
Yeah. So I think, and this is because of TikTok, I guess, but I love McCain.
I love McCain.
I want the Bulls to get McCain. I think this could be just like a Everyone hates Duke. Everyone hates Filipowski. College,
and I'm three lectures behind.
That sounded pretty good.
I played it for my phone.
But yeah, I just think they just got dudes.
This is the most interesting region. There's a lot that could happen. And Houston could easily just cakewalk through everything. But this
you have Kentucky in the Final Four?
Yeah, I have Kentucky. Just off my instinct right now.
Yeah.
That's another trendy pick, and I think they could lose to Oakland. They're like the only Final Four team that I think can lose in the first round of mine.
All right, let's blow through this Midwest region.
Yeah.
Even though I have a bunch of upsets, but also a lot of chalk. All right.
Okay.
Purdue revenge game. They beat the fuck out of the winner of that game. Like, they literally beat the heck out of them.
Okay, I'll take Purdue. Yep.
And then I have Utah State. I picked like every other 9 seed.
I have TCU because I have friends that went there.
I picked every other 9 seed, so I'm picking.
This is where it gets interesting, Andrew, right here.
Well, I have both winning. I have McNeese and Samford winning.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I agree. Because truthfully, again, going back to your logic from before, one of them is going to win, I think. And if one of them wins, then
one of them is going to be in the elite, is going to be in the Sweet 16.
That's how I feel. Which I lean towards McNeese.
Yeah, so do I.
And then I go Oregon also, but then Creighton wins.
Okay.
Because I think South Carolina stinks. Their metrics are not good.
I took South Carolina and Creighton.
Okay.
You win the Pac-12 and you're still an 11. Like, this just...
Dana Altman is a top 10 coach in the country, and he wins the NCAA tournament. And they've got momentum.
They have a good roster.
Like, they're good.
I see it. I get it. And I don't even really have an argument for South Carolina, except I think the SEC is really, really, really good this year, and the Pac-12 was really, really bad. I think that's a decent argument.
I mean, that's fair.
And then I have Creighton. It chalked the rest of the way. Creighton, Texas, Tennessee. However,
I don't think Texas wins. Don't matter who they play. I don't think Texas is very good.
I don't think Texas is very good. I think if UVA wins, I may change it to Virginia. Because did you see their reaction to – I'm all about the reactions. Did you see their reaction to getting in because they didn't think they were going to be in?
I saw the one player on his hands and knees thanking God.
Yeah, they went crazy. But Texas has the heartbreak kid, so they have –
Who's the heartbreak kid? Oh, Max Smith.
Yeah.
No comment.
Second round there, I go – it sounds like we both have Purdue and McNeese.
Yep.
And then I have Creighton beating South Carolina. You have Creighton beating Oregon.
Yep.
And then Tennessee over whoever you pick out of that game, which you don't think is going to be Texas.
Yep.
Okay. This is a very interesting little Final Four in the...
Because every team not named McNeese, who's literally McNeese State, cannot get over the hump that they currently stand on. Creighton's never been to a Final Four. Tennessee and Rick Barnes have never been to a Final Four. Purdue, well-documented, never been to a Final Four. One of them, and again, the committee did this on purpose. One of them has to make it to the Final Four. They just have to.
Yeah. If this is the four remaining.
Purdue has to beat McNeese State.
By 50. I'm telling you. They're eventually going to lose, but they are – the first three games, they're going to make everyone be like, oh, my God, they're going to do the same thing as Virginia. I have Purdue-Creighton in the Elite Eight.
Okay, I'll probably take Tennessee because I just love Dalton Connect. And I think I have to take Purdue just to have one Big Ten team in the Final Four, but, like, Tennessee could be Purdue's kryptonite. Long, athletic, lanky, got tons of bodies to throw at ED.
So I have Purdue in the Final Four also.
Okay.
All right. So that means Duke, Purdue, Illinois, North Carolina.
Okay, I am UConn, North Carolina.
Kentucky, Purdue.
And I'm going to go North Carolina beats UConn versus Purdue. North Carolina wins it all.
Wow. I got Duke beating Illinois in the national championship.
If Duke beats Illinois, the only team that can make me root for Duke might be Illinois.
Seriously. I really like Duke. I've liked them the last few years. But, I think.
Oh my God, Andrew, did you watch them play North Carolina at home? They're not that good.
They just got some guys who could be dudes.
Okay, all right.
And they're in that weird. They're in that weird thing where it's like top 10 in net, top 37.
They're in the trapezoid of perfection or whatever.
Yeah.
Listen. Don't poo-poo anybody's bracket. You know, don't yuck anybody else's yum. But that's what we think. That's how we feel. It's crazy that the bracket's in our possession.
I love it. It's great. So I got Duke over Illinois. You have North Carolina over Purdue. We both have North Carolina Purdue.
No.
In the final four.
It's just insane. Oh, the bracket. It's here. Oh my God. This is March. Unreal. I think the upset I feel most confident about is probably Drake. The team under the radar that I think can go far, again, Nebraska, but also McNeese we talked about. And I love Florida too. And that's all on the right side. On the left side of the bracket, the east and west side. There's just not a lot besides Drake. I feel like Drake can win two games. I feel like New Mexico can win two games, and that's about it. Tucker DeVries on Drake is averaging the most points of any player in this tournament against quad one teams. Meaning, long story short, is every game that they play until the Sweet 16, so the first two games, he'll be the best player on the floor. Only way he's not the best player on the floor is if he plays against Terrence Shannon in the Sweet 16. And if he doesn't, if he's not playing Illinois, then he's the best player on the team still, best player on the court still. So that means something. He is a really good guy to pick for your points bracket also. But other than that, you got any other final comments? I mean, like, North Carolina is who I've said is going to win it all for weeks. I'll probably put a future on another team as well before. For some reason, I might do UConn, even though it's so chalk, but I had them last year. So it's almost like a redemption. Actually, FanDuel has like a risk-free bet on any college basketball bet. And I might just do it on UConn to win it all, because like that's pretty juicy. But any like Kentucky is some decent value, but people love Kentucky to win it all. They just have phenomenal guards and they score a lot of points. Illinois has some interesting value as well. The other team that interests me a lot, not any of the teams that we've mentioned that could win it all from a weird lower seed. Literally, I could say like any team in the South. I think that's the most open in terms of, you know, who can get to the Final Four. Like, we didn't talk about Marquette at all. Marquette could easily make the Final Four. They have the best point guard in the country. They have a phenomenal.
Is he fully healthy?
Probably. They held him out of games. They said he would have played if it was the national championship in the Big East. So is he fully healthy? I don't know. But is he healthy enough? Probably. And like, you got to think he's only going to play 20 minutes in that first game. Right. So. It's exciting. I mean, this year, the NCAA tournament is so great because each year, college basketball, the bottom of college basketball and the top of college basketball become closer because the talent discrepancy from the transfer portal and NIL and all this stuff makes it closer. And this is just going to be a really, really fun tournament. Just can't wait to get started.
I'm excited. Before we get out of here, there's the one last thing we wanted to talk about, which was a team that will be in March Madness last year, or a team that will be in March Madness next year, DePaul, led by Coach Holtman, formerly at Ohio State, for those of you that may not know that.
For those of you who live under a rock.
And Joey's at the press conference. We won't spend too much time on it because obviously he's no longer the Ohio State coach, but close to Joey.
And close to you.
Been great to me. All the times I've gone to interview him and hang out with him. Personally, super excited for him. I think it's great. Great to have him in Chicago. Hopefully he revives that program, gives us another basketball team in Chicago to go and root for, because the Bulls certainly aren't so fun to root for. But Joey, real quick, you know, you were there today. Thoughts?
Yeah, quickly. I mean, it was really, really cool. He's going to bring some Ohio State guys with him, which makes them easier to root for in my eyes. It's literally me and Andrew's backyard, being two Chicago guys, seeing him there, seeing his family, seeing his agents, all this. It was just really great. It's an awesome opportunity to build something out of nothing. When he came to Ohio State, it wasn't like it was a dead program, but it needed some juice, and he sure brought the juice in those first few years, especially. There's no doubt in my mind that it might take a year, 2 years, but DePaul basketball will become relevant in the Big East very soon. And I'm just excited for him because there's no pressure. People aren't going to be looking over his shoulder. They know they got to build a program, and he gets to do it and be a hero to Chicago basketball if he does it. And I believe in him and trust him. And I'm incredibly excited for that opportunity. So it was an awesome press conference. He gave me a shout out, which was hilarious. And DePaul basketball gained another fan or two or three or four today by officially naming him the coach in the press conference and all that fun stuff. So it was really great. The press conference with Jake Diebler was awesome. The press conference with Holt was awesome. Just a lot of guys to root for now. So if you're keeping track at home, this podcast enjoys rooting for Ohio State, Butler, and now DePaul.
I like that. I am rooting for Ohio State, Missouri.
Oh, right.
And now DePaul.
I forgot Missouri.
But Missouri's, they didn't win an SEC game this year, 0-19. So they're the DePaul.
Yikes.
Those are two really good teams, DePaul and Mizzou. But that was previous DePaul. We're going to get, you know, to the future here in a little bit. Long episode. Thank you for listening. Watch some March Madness at the Butcher's Tap. But most importantly, buckle up, drive the lane.
Go Buckeyes, beat the Big Red. Are they the Big Red?
Yeah, go Big Red. But I'm not saying go Big Red. That's what they say, so they are Big Red.
All right, but they're a bear. Like, that's their logo.
Yeah, but, you know, go the Blue. They're not
Cornell Big Red. Are we sure?
Yeah, they're not the Michigan Blues.
No, hold on. Just making sure.
Cornell Big Red men's basketball.
Right, but then it says they love the Big Red Bear as Cornell's unofficial mascot. Okay, all
right. Right, they're not
Touchdown
the Ohio
is the
State.
Name of the mascot.
They're not the Ohio State Brutus Buckeyes.
Okay, big guy. Yeah. All right, go Buckeyes. Beat the Big Red. Let's make a run to Indianapolis, Buckeyes. Why not?